Prologue. This writing contains new wine. It is not my intention to hurt you, the wineskin. The words that you read on these pages have been in the making for over 17 years. This is not because I'm some hugely procrastinating individual who can never get anything done. No, on the contrary, I've been writing published works and speaking publicly about an eclectic multitude of subjects for almost 2 decades. A visit to my website, JesusFreakComputerGeek.com, you will find these subjects. Artificial intelligence, genetic engineering, biblical cosmology, sometimes called flat earth, solar geoengineering, climate weather modification, quantum or Mandela effect and quantum computing, transhumanism, abiotic oil, cryptocurrency, false flag events, and Hegelian dialectic, to name just a few subjects included in posts on the website at http://JesusFreakComputerGeek.com. These subjects, while possibly sounding like a laundry list of conspiracy theorist fodder and possibly the subjects of the next Unabomber manifesto, are replete with sound, biblical-based worldviews and doctrinal truths. The JFCG website posts also include reference to some of the latest scientific and technological knowledge that exists in circa 2023. I open this book with a warning of sorts, because you cannot glean understanding from this book without putting in your own effort towards study as you read along. I'm reminded of the teaching of Jesus when he states, "You cannot put new wine into old wineskins, because you will lose the wine and destroy the wineskin." This is in Mark 2:22. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and the only way to the Father is through a relationship with his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The way, the truth, and the life. It is by our faith in Jesus that Holy Spirit comes and resides within us, leading us into all understanding. As it is written, a spiritual man judges all things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This is in 1 Corinthians 2:14 in the New King James Version. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. 1 Corinthians 2:15. What you are reading here is the culmination of life experience, professional experience, formal and non-formal education that the Most High has had me live through since I was 12 years old. And although it may sound like exaggeration, there were many things, technological in nature, that I just knew. Since an even younger child, I simply always knew how things worked. I have memories of my dad calling me into a room with his friends and prodding me to explain components of their radio and how the technology functioned when I was like in 4th and 5th grade. I was a precocious, oddball of a kid who read encyclopedias for fun. And because I was born with cerebral palsy, in which my entire left side was atrophied and I limped rather profoundly, I was inclined to a more cerebral and thoughtful lifestyle, and veered away from the more physical challenges and sports that most young boys gravitated towards. My innate understanding of all things tech led to a career in technology that included a 12-year tenure at NASA, where I worked side by side with world-renowned astrophysicists, engineers, and technologists, supporting them in NASA field science efforts, providing tech support for spacecraft launch events, instructing university-level orbital science platform, satellite, remote sensing and data processing, and engineering a few specialized technologies along the way just for fun. But I was not aware then how those experiences would lead to my unorthodox understanding of scriptural truths and mankind's spiritually and supernaturally charged history. Yahweh, God Most High, was setting me up in preparation for such a time as the day we find ourselves living in, days that are defined by technologies and science knowledge that very few individuals from the general public understand, and yet those same individuals use and put their trust in every day. More importantly, though, we find ourselves in what I believe are the end of the end of days. These days are described by biblical prophecies, and while never using the word computer, electronic, or electromagnetic field, still present scenarios in the prophecies that describe the effects and outcomes of such modern technology and science ideals. In the effort to distill down decades of my life's increase in knowledge about the things of God, the scriptures and many of its prophecies, and past writing efforts, the thing that has kept me from finally having a finished work, a book, was which subject should be the focus. I have now come to realize what the most burgeoning and pervasive issue in our world is today: artificial intelligence and its inclusion into and control of every facet of all of our daily lives. And yet the truth concerning such technologies remain obscured from the eyes of the general public. Although this writing can help any reader understand how pressing the issues of AI are, there are a few prerequisites to help you get the most insight out of the information contained in these pages. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there are emphatic statements in this book that will otherwise challenge your normalcy bias. But if you are a person of faith, a believer in Christ Jesus, this scripture should be familiar. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's in Ephesians 6 and 12 in the King James Version. In the New King James, it sounds like this: For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Again, if you are not a believer, a faithful Christian, I urge you to not spend your time with these writings until you've gotten the most needful thing taken care of: eternal salvation. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, the free gift of God. Assuming that you know the Lord and are saved, the second prerequisite is that you have read the scriptures and have a well-grounded, Holy Spirit-led understanding of key biblically-based doctrinal truths. I will mention a few here by quoting scriptures as points of reference, but we will go into more detail as we move forward in these writings. Please be patient with me if I seem to be discontinuous in my thought process and presentation in the following pages. I assure you that these seemingly disparate ideas will converge and become quite coherent. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. If you are a Christian that believes that God did not create the world in 6 days because, quote, science teaches us otherwise, unquote, this book may be too much of a challenge to your normalcy bias, and the understandings presented here may be difficult to comprehend. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children unto them. The same became mighty men of old, men of renown. This is Genesis 6 and 4. If you were a Christian who believed that, quote, the sons of God, unquote, were the sons of Seth, this book will likely be a challenge for you because you may not fully understand the truth of It's not flesh and blood that we war against, but powers, principalities, the rulers of darkness in high places. To provide clarity, allow me to explain. The Sons of Seth doctrine began with a simple and a single, poorly translated King James Version verse. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. This is Genesis 4 and 26 in the King James Version. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. This is Genesis 4 and 26 in the ESV. The translations get even further away from accuracy when we come to newer versions of the Bible. Genesis 4 and 26 in the NLT. When Seth grew up, he had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. The International Standard Version and the original Hebrew are the only two places we can find an accurate statement. Seth also fathered a son, whom he named Enosh. At that time, profaning the name of the Lord began. That's Genesis 4 and 26 in the ISV. In the original Hebrew, the words that were translated to men began to call upon the name of the Lord are halal, kara, b'shem, Yahweh. Halal means profane. Kara means call upon. B'shem means of the name. Yahweh is the proper name for God Most High. Another important scriptural principle that requires clarification is that there were and are multiple gods, little g. Yahweh is the Most High and is unique from all others. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's in Deuteronomy 6:4. In the ISV, listen, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. The Most High created all things, including the gods who sit in places within His divine council. This is Deuteronomy 32. These little g gods, Elohim, are called the sons of God and are a class of angelic beings. They are mentioned in Genesis 6, Deuteronomy 32, Job 1, and more, and are described as having been given authority over the nations, and Israel would be God Most High's portion. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when He divided mankind, He fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is His people, Jacob, His allotted heritage. Deuteronomy 32:8-9 in the ESV. God has taken His place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, He makes judgment. Psalm 82. If you are a Christian and you're unable or unwilling to comprehend that there are multiple gods, little g, and a singularly unique Most High God, this book and what it postulates may not resonate with you. I have been teaching for quite a few years that what we call mythology is in fact history. Okay, I get it, you may be thinking. We need to better study our Bibles, the inerrant Word of God. Read the next sentence carefully. We find, through deep study of Scripture, that the idea that the English Bible is the, quote, the inerrant Word of God, unquote, becomes problematic upon deep examination. We begin to find that the translators didn't always get every nuanced detail right. Please understand that I'm not intending to negate the importance of the Bible, reading, and biblical knowledge, nor the fact that the Most High has revealed Himself, His ways, and our eternal salvation through faith in the only begotten Son, through the accounts of the ancient scriptural writings. But you should know that every English translation of the scriptures has quite a bit of omission and omissions of translation that begins even at the first verse of Genesis. The English translators, and before them the Greek Septuagint and the Latin Vulgate translators, did not know what to do with certain Hebrew aleph-bet characters that were in the middle of the script. The aleph tav and the second to last word in Genesis 1:1, vav aleph tav. We must keep in mind that the earliest English translations, while meticulously worked and certainly under the unction of Holy Spirit, the translators were dealing with a dead language, Hebrew, and the Hebrew people were at that point in history scattered throughout the world, and most translated source material was from the Greek Septuagint or Jewish Masoretic texts. While the Septuagint was a more accurate source material for Old Testament writings and New Testament affirmation, we're still translating to English from a Greek translation of the original Hebrew. As the adage goes, much gets lost in translation. Therefore, the early Bible translations and even the modern translations leave this beautiful revelation of Jesus Messiah as presented in the opening statements of Scripture out of the first lines of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Pretty clear-cut proclamation regarding the beginning of creation. What could possibly be missing? In the Hebrew, we find a few secreted understandings that are foundational doctrines concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I will explain in more detail later in the book, but you may already see what I'm referring to. Ask Holy Spirit to reveal it to you as you review the chart below. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. The middle word, aleph tav, is omitted from the English translations. Aleph, in Paleo-Hebrew, is in the form of an ox head and means strength. The tav is a cross. Strength of the cross. We should also note that the aleph tav are the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. First and the last. Do these things ring a bell? Keep looking, there's more. I challenge you to look for other elements of Genesis 1 that glorify Jesus. A man did not teach me much of these things. Holy Spirit did by his still, small voice and my own seeking and study after he pointed things out. This is what makes the difference in a believer's life, hearing from and walking in the Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible is infallible. The Bible is inerrant. What we find is that the Bible is indeed infallible in what it postulates. And what the Scriptures are emphatic about, the Bible is inerrant. But unless we begin to seek out a deeper understanding by reading multiple versions, word study, etymology, the inclusion of extra-biblical, apocryphal texts in our study, and even the study of the original languages, much of the body of Christ will miss out on opportunities for deep revelation and possibly a deeper relationship, a closer walk with Jesus. We have created a body of believers who have skewed eschatological ideas, and as we approach the end of this age, many might possibly be searching in the wrong direction for answers to long-discussed prophetic mysteries. Some may even fall away because our expectations keeps us from seeing. For a believer to grow in understanding, we must seek, listen for the prompting of Holy Spirit, and study. We must grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures and increase our love of Christ Jesus by walking out this life of faith. We must listen for the leading of Holy Spirit, who, according to Scripture, leads us into all understanding. As the coming flood of artificial intelligence establishes the return of the disembodied Nephilim spirits to power and world influence, it will bring us into the greatest time of tribulation that the world has ever experienced. I pray that this book provides new prophetic insights into the days that Jesus compelled us all to watch, therefore, and to be aware of the wiles of our enemy, the devil, so that he will not gain an advantage over you or your family. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, the glory of kings to seek it out. Proverbs 25, 2 and 4. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and 8. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priests. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law, Torah, teaching, of your God, I also will forget your children. Hosea 4 and 6. In all you're getting, get knowledge. Knowledge is a spiritual weapon, and the righteous application of knowledge is wisdom. There are markings indicating pointers to reference material and or more information throughout the entirety of this published work. Although I intend to provide a comprehensive list of sources, some of the URL resources may change or be altogether removed in time. There is a resource listing with links to all sources, works cited, and any updated URLs at the Flood of AI website. floodofai.com. There will also be links at the website to download expounded sections of this book and all other public domain reference material in PDF format, and download links for every video and graphic mentioned in this book. You can basically download and keep the entirety of resource videos, interviews, books, and more on a high-capacity thumb drive. Jesus said that it would be as the days of Noah when the Son of Man returns, in Matthew 24. The direction that our world is blindly and rapidly moving towards could be described technically as a second dark age with a dash of feudalism thrown in. While the majority of the world believes we are becoming an enlightened people through technological advancement in things like BCI, brain-computer interfaces, genetic modifications that enable the human body to produce its own pharmaceuticals, modifications that enable us to eat anything as a food source, custom-ordered babies and other transhuman wonders, I am reminded of two scriptures that state, "If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Matthew 6 and Luke 23 in the ESV. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Romans 1 and 22 in the KJV. I recommend that everyone download the resources, copy them to a USB thumb drive, and share them with anyone who might be interested. Again, the updated resources links can be found on the floodofai.com website. If you wish to use any part of this book, texts, full pages, images, or related media assets that are archived online, you may do so without any copyright issue as long as the following is adhered to. Send an email requesting to use said material. Type "use request" in the message subject. In the body of the message, provide your name and pertinent contact information. Provide the name of the work it will be included in. If the published work is an online publication, provide the URL. Do not use statements within the body of work out of context. Do not use statements within this body of work out of context so as to skew the intent or meaning of the text. Prayer is one of our most powerful spiritual weapons. Prayer bolsters our faith and dispels the power of darkness around us. Many have heard of the mark of the beast mentioned in the book of Revelation, but few understand that God Most High has a mark. In Ezekiel it is written, "And the Lord said to him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." In the book of Revelation it is written, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." Revelation 7 and 3 in the New King James Version. And also in Revelation 9 we read, "They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." The Aaronic priest prayer written in Numbers 6 and 24, I believe, has spiritual power that the Most High intends for us to have and wield. Aaron is instructed by Yahweh to mark my people, or to put my name upon my people. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance to you and give you peace." I would encourage you to learn this prayer, and if you feel led to, learn to speak it in Hebrew. I speak it over those who come to the gathering at the end of every broadcast. You may hear this blessing spoken in English and Hebrew by visiting the book resource page at the floodofai.com website. There will also be mentions of Paleo Hebrew script lexicon. There will also be mentions of Paleo Hebrew script and lexicon. I am including a chart of the letters lexicon and their meanings. Some are apprehensive to study Paleo-Hebrew because they see the ancient iconography as being satanic or mystical. Although practitioners of Kabbalah reference Paleo-Hebrew, Paleo is not a part of Kabbalah. Paleo-Hebrew is the oldest written language. It is the original script and writing given by Father God to Adam. I am including the Paleo-Hebrew chart in the section that touches on the relationship of Jewish Kabbalah to all other mystery religions, Hinduism, New Age, and the like. They are all the same, and they all worship the same God, but it is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yavreh kaka Yahweh v'yishme reka, Ya'er Yahweh penevaleka v'chuneka, Yisa Yahweh penevaleka ve'yusimleka shalom.